Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for today is the gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I will not reread it. I do have a question for you. Have you ever wondered why the first week of Advent we're looking at a Palm Sunday text? I know it always strikes me. Why do we always start Advent with Palm Sunday and not John the Baptist shouting that the Lamb of God is coming or prepare the way or something like that? This intertwining of themes is not a confusion, but rather it is there to illuminate the season of Advent for us. The Advent season, you see, is to help us focus on all the ways the Lord Jesus has come, continues to come, and will finally come to us through the spoken and written word, through baptism and Holy Communion, through birth, through ministry, through his coming in glory at the end of days. We will meditate on these. The perspective provides a depth and a dimension to this season that so easily gets lost in our rush to get to Christmas. And so before us is our sermon hymn. Paul Gerhardt, beautiful hymn writer. And the words, the simple title of the text, O Lord, how shall I meet you? That is an appropriate Advent question. Now Matthew lays before us in our text a description of our Lord's royal entry into Jerusalem like that of, well, the other evangelists. And it gives us a picture of a people that are, well, like us now. They're not united. There's much division. This point is often lost on us as we get used to hearing the gospel narratives and not pay attention to what's going on in it too particularly close. Look at the gospel lesson again and notice that almost everything associated with Palm Sunday happens before Jesus enters Jerusalem. Did you notice that the crowds who shout, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest, are not the crowds of people coming out from Jerusalem to greet him, but rather the people who have been traveling with Jesus, some surely since Galilee, many, I'm sure, since the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Jerusalem's cry is not, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, but rather, who is this? So there are two crowds that day, just like today. One crowd had no idea who Jesus was, and the other group, well, they thought they knew exactly, but not quite completely. And so the entrance into Jerusalem of Jesus becomes an almost seismic event, at least socially speaking. The whole city was shaken. It was a buzz. You can almost see both crowds and the confusion that Jesus coming had brought as the prophecy of Zechariah is being fulfilled. He had foretold the king coming to Jerusalem. He had spoken of the day when the simple beast of burden would be preferred to the bold war horse as the king of all Israel would come. Malachi had prophesied that one day the sought-after Lord would suddenly appear in his temple. And yet no one was prepared for that to happen because just like us today, we never expect the Lord's return right now. We may hope for it, we may pray for it, but deep down inside, we certainly don't expect it. But the Lord had come to his city, he had come to his temple, but as John said so well, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. And what of the other crowd? The crowd that was running before and following after, the crowd flinging their coats, the crowd strewing branches on the road, the crowd hailing Jesus as the king? We know they were right to honor Jesus of Nazareth, the Galilean, the son of David, the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We also know that they were still far from realizing that the son of David would ascend to his throne by hanging on a cross. And how they didn't know that their cry for Hosanna, Lord save us, how truly accurate those cries were and how yet they were to be fulfilled ever so soon. The closest of Jesus' followers, his disciples, would all soon abandon him to his captors and hide for their very lives. Contrary to all their promises and assurance to Jesus, not one of them served as a character witness at his trial. Neither did they surround his cross in a vigil of supplication and support. There wasn't a heart among them that woke that first Easter morning with gladness in it. Although their hearts were in fact being prepared, they could not even imagine what God was doing to them or what he was about to do next for them. And still the Son of Man goes as it is written. Even though no one was ready with proper welcome, with the kind of greeting that he deserved, still he came. Even though the way was not straight, the path was not smooth, still Jesus came to accomplish what he came to do. Take a moment. Open your hymnal up to the hymn that we just sang, our sermon hymn. This, "Lord, how shall I meet you?" Hymn 334, just to remind you once again. If all you knew of this hymn was its title, you might have thought you slipped into some praise band worship service that was singing a song about your navel to make you feel good to yourself. Oh Lord, how shall I meet you? Let me sing 16 stanzas about myself and how awesome I am to be awesome to you. But that's not what Gerhardt does. What an amazing theologian he is. You don't have to go too far to find out that the hymn's not about you, but about Jesus. Right? Look at the third stanza, first line. "O kindle, Lord most holy, your lamp within my breast." Gerhardt's giving credit for our conversion and our faith to whom? Not to the me, myself, and I, but to God alone. This question has become an important part of the Advent season, and now with the hymnals opening, you can skim even further and see just how amazing. As you look at these words, how wonderfully Gerhardt confesses what it truly is for us to think about this season. The Lord must kindle. He's the one who makes the lamp bright. It is Jesus who comes to set us free. The Lord gives us an eternal treasure. Although the Lord is to be the believer's heart's desire, it is the Lord's love, and it is the Lord's thirsting for salvation that brought him down from on high, down into our flesh, his incarnation for us. For he who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we might receive the righteousness of Christ. Jesus came so that the hearts might be made ready to receive him when he comes again to judge the living and the dead on the last day. And so he comes to teach us how we may greet him. Although we hear the call to return to the Lord our God throughout the church year, although the love of God shown to us in Christ Jesus makes it possible for us to have yet again a new beginning as we once again are born anew from above in the waters of our baptism, and all this is meet, right, and salutary, or just darn right good, yet we don't keep the Advent season as if we were the shepherds who were keeping watch of their flock by night, or the crowds in Bethlehem, or the sages in Jerusalem, or the traveling wise guys. We don't keep Advent as if we were they, or wondering what we would have done if we were there. Gerhardt correctly asked, "O Lord, how shall I meet thee?" Or meet you. The old TLH, thee, right? Not, "How would I have greeted you?" For the question correctly asked, "How shall I meet you?" is the Advent question that forces the believers to ponder not just the historical events, but the eternal reality of our salvation that will come like a thief in the night for each and every one of us. So Gerhardt's question And even the crowds on Palm Sunday's questions are answered emphatically on that first Easter morning, as Jesus shows those from Jerusalem who wondered who he is, that he is the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God. To those who thought he was only a prophet, Jesus' resurrection shows that he is much more than a prophet. He is the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And for you and me today, and the many doubts and questions that creep into our life, our minds and our hearts, Jesus is our risen and ascended Lord, our Savior, the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world, the babe of Bethlehem who is yet to, whose birth we look forward to celebrating, but even more so whose return we can't await. May we then in God-given faith rejoice, for he is the Savior of all mankind, even ours, even of our sins that we have committed. Therefore, we still need Advent. We need it to keep us ever alert for our Lord's coming, whether as the newborn babe or as the prophet Zechariah had said, "Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." Or as one crucified with criminals, or simply joined to his word, and his word joined to water and wine and bread. The good news for us always is that Jesus is always coming to us to save us. He saves us from our sins. This means we have forgiveness, and with forgiveness, life and salvation. So now, and when he returns, we may with full voice praise his holy name with the heavenly host, as we know Jesus has answered our cry, our Hosanna, save us now. So we can join with the crowd on that first Palm Sunday. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And know that that is exactly what Jesus does. He has come to save us. In his precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.